Hey, everybody, it's the Checkers of Records show on Speedway Anywhere, your Speedway podcast for everything motorsports and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Feel free to join the show. You can phone in to the studio line at 917-889-2053. We'll discuss anything motorsports, anything multi-sports, maybe a grandma's cookie recipe even. Who knows? Feel free to join, though, once again, 917-889-2053. We're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. For those playing along that may need a little help with Central Time is, draw a straight line down the Mississippi from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. That's pretty much Central Time. So, hey, I'm your crew chief, Q. Team Captain Kurt will be joining us as well. We're going to be doing a little play-along to Thursday night football as it's, you know, my home team playing. I'm not going to say which one, just in case some of you don't like the Vikings. Oh, damn, I said it. But, yeah, home team's just taking the field. Feel free to call in, and you can either rant for or against the Vikings or call in to brag against or for the Vikings. It's all good. 917-889-2053. It'll be fun. So, hey, holy domino effect. It all started with the announcement that Ryan Newman was leaving Richard Childress Racing in that number 31 car. But now the picture for 2019 has become at least five times clearer since then. Newman was announced to be leaving the 31 at Childress. And then last Saturday, there was a press conference at Richmond. It was confirmed that he is going to take over the number 6 at Roush Racing, the one that's currently shared by Matt Kenseth and Trevor Bayne. I was a little surprised by this, but at least some pieces are starting to fall into place. The big news weeks ago, though, was last year's champion, Martin Truex Jr., in the number 78 at Barney Visser's Furniture Row Racing was shutting down. There hasn't been an official press release, but all things point to Truex going to the number 19 at Joe Gibbs Racing, currently driven by Daniel Suarez. Also, they have all but confirmed that Daniel Suarez will be going to the Stewart Haas racing car of number 41 that Kurt Busch is said to be going to the Chip Ganassi racing number 1, currently driven by Jamie McMurray. McMurray has been offered a car at Ganassi to run the Daytona 500, but only the Daytona 500. And he's also been offered an operations position of sorts over at Ganassi. I wasn't aware that Jamie McMurray was pursuing a position like that. But, hey, it happens all the time. Crew chiefs, drivers, you name it. Elliott Sadler announced his retirement a little bit back. That opened up the number one Xfinity Series ride from Junior Motorsports, which on Tuesday, Noah Gregson said he will be moving from the Truck Series to the Xfinity Series in that Junior Motorsports ride of Sadler's. Gregson has been my odds-on favorite all year in the Truck Series, and he's ran consistently in the second place in points to Johnny Sauter this year. Also, you know, made multiple starts between Joe Gibbs Racing and Kyle Busch Motorsports between the Xfinity Series. But now he will be going full-time in the Xfinity Series next year. But, yeah, he's been second place to Johnny Sauter all year until the chase started. Brett Moffitt, of course, constantly nipping at the heels of Noah Gregson's bumper as well, by the way. Gregson has two wins in the Truck Series. One last year was at Martinsville, and then winning at Kansas this year during the spring race. So the guy's got it. I always thought he'd be a great prospect for any ride that opens up. I think the kid would do okay in the Cup Series. He's made some, let's say less than calculated moves on the track that, you know, he'll run first, second, third, the whole race. And then coming out pit road, he'll be back in 10th, he'll be in 9th, then he'll move up to 8th. And then once he gets into 7th, puts a dirty move on the guy in front of him, wrecks himself, ruins what was otherwise a extremely promising day. By the way, the news just broke, too, that Justin Allgaier is signed to continue in the Junior Motorsports number 7 in the Xfinity Series. There was some speculation that Allgaier wants to return to the Cup Series where he drove for, I believe, a couple years, whether it was 2013 or 2014. I don't have that note in front of me because I had just got the note about Allgaier continuing in the Xfinity Series at Junior Motorsports. But for 2019, he will still remain in that number 7, and he will be Noah Gregson's new teammate. Casey Kane, of course, announced his retirement. Kane currently drives the number 95 car for Levine Family Racing. No announcement on the new driver, a lot of speculations, but all fingers point that Levine Racing will be switching to Toyotas next year. And Toyota themselves have announced that they're looking to pick up a team or two and give them manufacturer support under the Toyota banner in 2019. So that was it's been a busy week. It's been a really, really busy week when it comes to who's going where, and we haven't even wrapped up these championships and for this year. And but here's one that's really interesting. Another shoe to drop is the news at JTG Racing. Brad Daugherty, the broadcaster, is releasing AJ Allmendinger. Allmendinger has had some bright spots while at JTG. He won his only Cup race at Watkins Glen road course. You know, he's that kind of driver. He won it at the Glen, I believe, in 2014. Looks like there's a strong possibility that AJ will make a move and make a full-time return to sports car racing. Rumors have it, too, that Xfinity driver Ryan Preece is going to take over the ride currently piloted by AJ Allmendinger. So that was, you can only expect the guys from the Xfinity series to move up, and rightfully so. One thing about this year, Preece has a win. Now, you would think when you're in, right? No, Preece did not have a ride within high enough standing in points or enough starts for his win to qualify him for the win you're in scenario going into the Xfinity Series chase. But yeah, wasn't chase eligible due to only having a limited schedule this year. By the way, so as it sits, the number 31 at Childress hasn't had a driver name to it yet. I think that's probably the only competitive car left available at this time. Things could, change quickly on that. But still, for who? I mean, that car needs a veteran or at least somebody that's got more than a few years experience in Cup, because Austin Dillon's going to need more resources out of a teammate than a driver that they tapped to move up from the Xfinity series. I mean, Ross Chastain, yeah, possibly, but it doesn't look like Chastain's going to be out of the Ganassi affiliations. My vote, Matt DiBenedetto. He's my vote for that ride over in the number 31 at Childress. I think that both Chastain and DiBenedetto, when they get a little help in a quality ride, that when they get a quality ride, they get quality finishes. So that's been the story thus far. I could probably click on any associate feed or anything else and all of a sudden find out that something else is going on as of what time? Seven, about quarter after seven tonight. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to put on the bumper music and we'll be right back.
Flag, hammer down.
Let's go hammer down and take the green flag. It's time for the news. Let's do a little recap of Richmond. Obviously, we covered a lot there with the changing of the teams and rides and everything that goes with that. But hey, at Richmond, lunchtime is over for the first round of the chase. Halftime at Richmond showed that last year's champ, Martin Truex Jr., is the man to beat, especially after being the highest finisher at Vegas. Truex collected his first two stages of the race at Richmond, and it was Kyle Busch of the Big Three getting the big V. Harvick of the Big Three was closing in on the final lap, so wound up second, followed by Truex in third. Harvick was just wishing he could have had just one more round of five laps, but yeah, he wound up second. Vegas was a fluke, and now the 2018 dominant drivers are showing they are the factor. Harvick was said to only need a finish of 37th, by the way, or better to guarantee a spot into the next round. I think that's going to be pretty effortless. Of course, Kyle Busch and Keselowski are locked with a win apiece going into the Roval. And Truex, by virtue of points, no one's going to be able to shove him out of that top 12 spots in points. Sorry about the hiccups there, guys. Final finishing position at Richmond. Kyle Busch, obviously, won. Harvick second. Truex third. Chase Elliott took a much-needed fourth to keep him even possibly in the mix. Eric Almirola, who is started strongest of the four Stewart Haas teams going into the chase, took a top five as well. So he was the farthest back as far as guys going in. He's now, you know, he had the highest finish at Vegas, and now he's also only second highest to Kevin Harvick as far as the finish at Richmond. I think he's looking pretty good. So Austin Dillon, who only had that feather in his cap from the Daytona 500 win, He finished sixth at Richmond. Dillon rode outside the top 16 going into the chase, of course, but he had that win to lock him in. He was the only one with a win outside of the top 16. Where it mattered, I guess, is the best way to put it. He did shove out Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who was 16th in points, but of course, by virtue of wins, Austin Dillon shut him out. He may just get further in the chase than many anticipated. So far, so good on his part. I'm not going to go through the whole 16 drivers, but Denny Hamlin, he's in that final 16 spot. For him to knock his way into that top 12 for the next round of the chase, it ain't looking good. And then, of course, also Eric Jones, who he stayed within the top 16 in points and then had the win. I never really had my eyes on Eric Jones to even matter. Not trying to slam the guy. It's just not there yet. Jimmy Johnson just needs to plan for next year as he sets 14th in points. And then the only guy that I think could shove someone out of the top 12 for the next round, Clint Bowyer. He's on the cusp in 13th, but based on the fact that it's Clint Bowyer, I think he's got a pretty good shot at guys like Alex Bowman and others to shove them out of the top 12 after Charlotte. And there's going to be some luck involved at the Charlotte Roval, the most unknown race to come up in years and years, if not a decade or more. I don't think luck will be enough for 14th through 16th. Don't get me wrong, 5th through 16th aren't even 100 points apart right now going into the Charlotte Roval, but there's only one race left to make it through. The Roval is going to be coming down to, well, let's just say everything. It's going to come down to luck. It's going to come down to pit strategy. And then, of course, road course experience doesn't hurt either. Kyle Petty was on NASCAR America on NBCSN yesterday, and he was having the discussion with Dale Jr. and them, and he was asked, where the opportunity to pass on the Charlotte Roval would be. He said, pit road. And I tend to agree. It's a very narrow track. Unless somebody's just got that kind of horsepower to go up onto the banks of the actual oval and outbreak a guy going into the infield, pit road. I mean, there's not much more to say than that. Let's also remember drivers outside the top 16 could steal a win and make guys inside the top 16 have to rely on points inside of the top 12. Get what I'm saying there? Because the guy outside of the top 16, if he gets a win, he's now taking opportunity for the for that final four, the 13th through 16th place drivers in the points, now taking away their chance to win you're in kind of thing. So this goes for every round, including the finale at Miami. I had a train of thought going on there too, as far as now when you look at Brad Keselowski and you look at Kyle Busch, each of them has a win to advance. Now, one of them could also steal the opportunity for, say, a guy 13th through 16th to win their way in. Or however the points leading up to 13th shakeout, because now those drivers, they can't get a win. That's it. Hope that makes sense. NASCAR tried to simplify the points years ago, and then they went and made it more complicated and added stage racing and playoff points and a partridge and a pear tree. So with that said, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow to see what practice looks like at the Roval. Also for the Xfinity series, same scenario. The difference is, for this round of the Xfinity series, this is not their final race of this segment of the chase. So, it's a completely different setup. So we'll see how that comes out next week. I'm really interested to eat crow and have a liar made out of me. Holy crap. I am getting dry in the throat here. And Xfinity Series, Christopher Bell got the job done at Richmond. And if not for the late wreck between Allgaier and Cole Custer, Bell may have had some more competition than just Ross Chastain and Dale Jr. This is the first of the Xfinity Series chase. And now, as far as most say that it's going to come down to Allgaier and Bell, I beg to differ. There's some other guys in that mix, and when you look at Ross Chastain, who jumped in the Ganassi Xfinity car, he showed his hand, finished in that top three, right? Yeah, and then of course he had the win at Vegas, which wasn't a chase race, so, but it did lock him in as far as instead of being on the outside while on the cusp in 12th place in points, it did lock him in, and I think point wise that moved him up to about 10th place. So Ross so far is slated to run in the number four car that he began the year in, and I don't think he'll be back in that number 42, but I have a feeling there will be support from the Ganassi team, maybe for engines or whatnot, while he's back in that number four and chases that spot at Miami. The sentimental favorite was Elliott Sadler, and had the fans on his side as he ran his last race at his hometown Virginia track at Richmond. Sadler ran consistently in the top five and knocked on the door of the lead, but ended up sixth at the finish. Dale Jr., who came out of a one-off race, ran and said he wasn't going to get competitive, he wasn't going to race hard, said he wanted to get out there, get out of the booth, go and have fun, led the most laps of the race with 96, ended up finishing fourth. He led, you know, considerable amount of laps for a guy that wasn't going to possibly take on another concussion. So I do somewhat wonder if Junior wanted the when you're in guys to get their chance at the front. So he just kind of backed off, you know. That's I can respect that. That's only fair. The Xfinity Series will join the Cup Boys Saturday at Charlotte for their second chase race. That'll be on the Oval. So far, Christopher Bell is the only one with the win to lock him in, but points are looking pretty good for others to advance too. I'm going to give myself a break. Holy crap! How's this Vikings thing going, Kurt?
Well, first drive, we got the ball. I believe it's second down. But, so no score.
I'm going to turn my head to the right and just for a second so I can give my voice a break. And it's a throw. And it's caught. And it's stuff happened. So, I think that's Thielen, right, in the 19?
Yep. He made the first down of the game for the Queenies. Sorry, Norseman. Yep. The Norseman.
The official sponsor of Skoal Chewing Tobacco. Well, this looks a lot better than the Buffalo game did. So far,
well,
so good.
Well, anything does. Don't forget about the rodents. The rodents about a mile from where the Bills killed the Vikings. So about a mile down the – less than a mile. Actually, about a mile.
I have
Saturday
no idea
night,
what you're talking about.
You know, they're – you know, and they went down to Maryland and got killed, you know, the rodents of Washington Avenue. The golfers.
Still haven't. Oh. I got more news on that.
Yeah, no,
both.
Yeah, hopefully the Vikings can get some of that Brad Keselowski magic going here.
Well, three in a row would be good, but yeah. I'm going to continue on with the trucks. I continue looking over my right shoulder. The truck series, they're still off till Talladega, Saturday, October 13th. We're still in their first round of their chase, by the way, which currently sits with Justin Haley, who took a win at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park for the first round of their chase. Grant Enfinger, he won at Vegas to guarantee his spot as well through the next four races of their chase in the next round. Johnny Sauter and Noah Gregson, who have been running first and second in points all year, are now, by virtue of Enfinger and Haley's wins, are third and fourth in points. Brett Moffitt is still nipping on the heels of Noah Gregson. Matt Crafton, he's at the current cutoff point in sixth going into the chase. He was at the cutoff point in eighth going into the chase, but that was a different scenario because they're now actually into the first round. Seventh and eighth are Ben Rhodes and Stuart Friesen on the outside looking in after the second of their chase races. We know Dega is going to be that wild card, though. I don't know if I'd rather have – what do you think? Would you rather have this brand-new Roble be your final opportunity to advance in the playoffs, or would you rather have Talladega be your final opportunity to advance?
I'll take the Roble. It's different. Everybody would be at the same advantage and disadvantage.
True. So, yeah, that's this Vikings game's kind of fun. I can't help it. I keep on looking over my shoulder, and it's not because I'm paranoid and afraid of somebody attacking me. I'm looking over my shoulder so I can see the Vikings game for a split second here and there.
You know.
So, yeah, I'm going to say, this road course thing – I would rather finish up my playoff round at Talladega simply because everyone knows how to drive. Well, not everyone, but most know what to expect from Talladega. You don't know what the hell to expect from the Roval. And I, as a driver, I'd rather go someplace I know than someplace I don't.
I could see that, but I mean, I think, more of that veteran driver would probably want Talladega, though, where, of course, Talladega, though, it's the speed, I guess I could see from both ways, though, but I would say the Roval.
No, that wasn't good. All right, third and 10, but where are they?
might be seeing our Mr. Kicker come in. We might be seeing Mr. Bailey
for the first time. Yeah, I was going to say we're well in position for a field goal. So see what happens here. And he's got a ball, and he threw a ball, and touchdown.
No, well, there's a flag.
Who is that?
God, I really can't make it out.
Hodgson. Looks like Joe Hodgson. Mr. Science Theater guy.
In the not too distant future, next Sunday AD.
Well, he sure is dancing like he doesn't think that the penalty is going to go against the Vikings, but.
Well, we got the six. You know.
Well, wasn't against us.
You know what would have been great is if there were some genetically mutated people like the Vikings that actually grew horns out of their heads at one point and not the helmets, you know?
And they probably did.
I mean,
I think everyone's
well,
had
there were definitely Well, there were definitely people, though, in at that time, Eastern Europe, that probably thought they were genetically mutated just because of how big they were. Back
you
in
know,
the 800s.
Here at Speedway Anywhere, we're not claiming to be play-by-play analysts, but we are the play-along analyst, and it's kind of like, you know, it's the best of both worlds. We got to keep going, though. Not much news for 2019 as far as the truck series, as far as driver moves and what the face of the field will be. Of course, though, as mentioned, Noah Gregson will be moving up to the Xfinity series in the number one junior motorsports car. So, but other than that, not much change. And I'm kind of curious to see if Harrison Burton makes more starts than he has this year. And then John Hunter Nemechek. Those are the first two that come to mind. I think that there's going to be more starts for Sheldon Creed. Even this year, by the way, who is the ARCA points leader. So that ought to be interesting to see at the end of November if somebody like Sheldon Creed or others aren't moved into a full-time truck series ride, or even a team that's in the Xfinity series, you know? You never know.
Hmm.
2020, obviously, is what we're knocking on the door of for the big acquisition when NASCAR takes the ARCA series.
Hmm.
I think it's going to be a whole new... I'm not going to say ball game because they don't use balls. Well, maybe some of them do, but that's a whole other story. So let's let's recap the NHRA real quick. From they're not going anywhere this weekend. Steve Torrence has top field. Robert Height, he's got a funny car. He shoved Courtney the Force all the way back to third and point paints. Tanner Gray in what I believe is the most competitive division in NHRA. Everybody on Speedway Anywhere gets to listen to my mom cheering for the NFL.
You
That's
can hear
just
that.
Awesome. I can hear it loud and clear.
I'm in my bedroom, so I can hear, yeah.
You know, one great thing about blogtalkradio.com is that their signal strength, 90% of the time, it's godly. And then there are those few times where I'm more than disappointed. But, hey, yeah, Robert Height leads funny car points. He is actually part of the Force team, by the way. It's him, John, and Courtney. Even at one point during the season, John Force was accused of Okay, I got to get this part in. John Force was accused of giving the reaction time to Robert Height when he was up against them, being that they were team cars.
Hmm.
There's a little protest going on about that. So,
did he cheat?
Nothing confirmed. And then all Force did was just kind of like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. We hear that stuff all the time. So, anyway, so
nothing confirmed doesn't mean anything.
I could apply that to a lot of things in life. Tanner Gray is leading pro stock still at this point. Of course, you know, Tanner Gray and Jags Coughlin and Erica Anders and all that, after they started the they reset the points going into this showdown, that's got shuffled quite a bit. Erica Anders, I believe, was back in sixth, and she was constantly fluctuating between second and third, about to pounce on first and points, and, well, I don't know. So Matt Smith is leading pro bike, whereas it was Andrew Hines and Angie Hines, and but Matt Smith leads pro bike at this point. The NHRA is going to return at Texas Motorsportplex October 4th through the 7th, and that will be the fourth to the last event before they count down the next three races to Pomona, November 8th through 11th. So that's they need to quit taking weeks off. Damn it, I love watching that stuff every weekend. I want to recap something about the World of Outlaws. Greg Hodnett at BAPS Motor Speedway died Thursday, September 20th. They canceled the events for that weekend. Once again, Greg Hodnett was the 1993 Rookie of the Year. Friday and Saturday's events were canceled. And then, yeah, I've watched Greg the last 25 years, ever since his rookie year. And, you know, whether it was on TNN at 11 o'clock at night or whatever, watching the repeats, or whether I got to catch him live. I even got to see Greg Hodnett out at Cedar Lake Speedway. He's ran against the veterans like the Kinzers. Obviously, Steve and Mark Kinzer are no small names. Sammy Swindell, huge name. By the way, did you know that Sammy Swindell ran in the IROC series?
Really?
Sammy Swindell ran the season in the IROC series. I believe it was in 98.
Ah.
So, yeah. So, very few times that you see a driver outside of the stock car realm, per se.
Yeah.
Going out there and running in those series. Of course, there was also teams fielded by Tony Stewart, teams fielded by Casey Kane. Then, of course, you had Dave and Dale Blaney, Dave being Ryan Blaney's dad, who runs, you know, Ryan running full-time for Penske in the Cup Series and doing extremely well. He's inside that top 12 cutoff going into the next round of the chase. But, yeah, and just all the predecessors. Greg Hodnett, he was kind of a Dale Earnhardt of the World of Outlaws, and a lot of series on dirt. So, yeah, they had services for him earlier this week, and they had his cars and the who's who of dirt racing and NASCAR racing and everything showed up for it. So that was pretty freaking cool. Yeah, he was 49 years old, and you know, if you followed anything about dirt racing, you knew his name. So, I want to give a plug to Fan for Racing. Fan for Racing is another show here on Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/fan4racing. They became cohorts of mine. I jump over and listen to them on Mondays and Thursdays after I finish up on the Speedway. And every once in a while, there's a special guest from a national level of racing on there and get to talk some BS, and it's pretty cool. So, all right, we're in multi-sports mode here. Wow. And we're only about 45 minutes into the show. We're going to get off early tonight. That's all right, because
yeah,
I got the Vikings
to the,
on the TV.
Yeah, yeah, thanks to the Norsemen of the Midwest here. And, I know it's Thursday night football here with the Battle of the Horns, but one thing I wanted to start out by just saying, I'm going to probably see Joe Mauer for the last time this weekend. Just real quick here, I know the last few years haven't been great, although last year, great defensively at first base. The Twinkies had to do what they did at that time, and I don't regret it. And although I will say right now, Justin Morneau was their best batter at the time, but I don't mind that at all. And just Joe Mauer, he's not leaving town, that's for sure. And happy trails.
I got to cut you off. As we're doing the play-along, not the play-by-play, the play-along, the other horns are in the red zone.
Yeah, they are. The Smogville Goats. We can say
Smogville
that now.
Goats.
Yep, one of my favorite team monikers.
Now, you talk about humans having the horns sticking out of their heads. Would you rather have the Viking horns or the Rams horns?
Well, the Ram horns, you could knock other people over. A little side note, I've always known this. The Rams were the first team to have the emblem on a helmet. One of their players painted it on in like 1953, I think.
You know, if I could have anything sticking out of my head from a helmet, it would have to be the Chargers. Kind of like Thunder Frog. Thunder Frog the wrestler. He's got lightning bolts up on the top of his head. That's just cool.
By the way, we can never say anything good about the Smogville Goats. Because the Blue Horns, the Gold Horns, just got a... we're going to be tied.
I didn't even watch it. Now I did. I saw the replay. So, yeah, hey, in my notes, I got the whole multi-sports, this, that, whatever. I got the Vikings live note there. Major League Baseball, that's shutting down as far as our regular season. So, it's the changing of the guard. It's the NFL is just kicked off, no pun intended, and MLB is shutting down. But I want to mention, it was really interesting to see new coach Lindsey Whalen for the women's golfers. PJ Fleck, somewhat new coach for the men's football. And then Richard Pitino, all sitting on chairs right next to each other as they watch a workout for the Gopher men's basketball. How often do you get three college coaches to come and just hang out on chairs watch one of their teams together. That's got to be rather unique.
The combined age of all three of them, I think, is what, like 94 or 95? That's, you know, the top three programs there. I mean, that's a young coaching at, you know, for the Washington Avenue Rodents.
You know, I got to say, though, honestly, that's the way it should be. It really should. There's got to be – you can't keep the same guy making the calls for 30 freaking years at a time and then finally replace him. You just can't.
What if that old guy, though, it works under them?
Well, the problem is it didn't.
Well, no, but I'm talking there about like Mike Krzyzewski, Duke, and that too, and just that sometimes you can't do that. But the Gophers have had their history with coaches.
You know, Coach Kill went through so many medical issues and whatnot, and then finally said, okay, time for a change. So
yeah, and Tracy Clay's that off the field problems and that too, and they don't even really hide it about, you know, Waylon either. You know, they do want to get some publicity. They want to get, although they did make it to the tournament last year, but why not try it? And Lindsay knows basketball too, so why not give it a try?
Well, what I've been saying on a major network radio here in the Twin Cities, and then on some other guys on Blog Talk, is I said, you know, you really can't go into all this speculation and negativity as far as Lindsay goes, because so many want to say, but coach. And I'm like, you know what? Nobody ever got their first win until they got their first win.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever got their first championship until they got their first championship. Nobody mm-hmm. ever got their dynasty until they got their dynasty. It's just the way it is. You got to tap that keg, and then if it goes sour, it goes sour.
Yep.
All right. On the Lindsay Fleck Patino deal, and at the Indy Awards banquet, most popular driver of the year goes to.
Yeah, Michael. Everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
Man.
Well, damn it. I hit the wrong button.
Man, he can't. Oh, man. He you know, you should not let Robbie Gordon anywhere in any building. He should not be allowed anywhere. Because, there's one guy that I don't think could give a pep talk.
Well, they introduced Robbie Gordon on that morning show, that national morning show. What is it, Good Morning America or Today or whatever? And they asked him about that Strahan guy, and he sat down, and all he did was sit here and say, "Freaking, I screwed it up." They asked him about that Strahan guy that was sitting across the table from him. We were about to interview Robbie Gordon. And
yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me. And he's a piece of shit.
Man.
You know, I think that Robbie Gordon's got a Napoleon complex, too, because participating in a charity basketball event with one of the old Chicago Bulls, and here's what he said.
Yeah, Michael, everybody thinks Michael's this good guy. He's not the good guy like he actually is. The caution was out, and he wrecked me, and he's a piece of shit.
Now, why would anybody say that about Michael Jordan?
Well, Robbie's got to know Michael Jordan doesn't have racing experience, so was he shocked that even when the caution was out, that he would wreck him? I mean, maybe. Oh, I think Michael Jordan, though, throughout, the last 20 years, maybe people have said worse things about him, though. So Robbie Gordon might actually say one of the more positive things about Michael Jordan. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I mean, don't know what Scottie Pippen says. I mean, Horace Grant, even Phil Jackson. I wonder what Phil Jackson would still say about him after all this time. But we do know what Robbie Gordon thinks of him. I mean, man.
It's been interesting sitting there doing a racing show and I haven't seen very many yellow flags from the officials.
No, yeah.
All right, let's move a little bit here. As most of you know, the NDC's wrapped it up at Sonoma with Scottson taking the title. That almost all year. And new, Robbie Gordon was talking about Michael Waltrip, not Michael Andretti. Although, he'd probably say the same thing about Michael Andretti when he brings up a piece of excrement. I can't have the date for the IRL bank still. It's driving me nuts. I'm sure Robbie Gordon is not invited, but mentioned last Monday, Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett declared Monday as Scott Dixon Day in the city to honor IndyCar drivers. Something Scott Dixon had announced that he wants to join NASCAR to do stock car racing, whether full time or whatnot. I don't know. You know, I just know it's on his radar. But that number 42 car would be the best prospect with Ganassi owning that car. And Ganassi owning Dixon's IndyCar, and but then again, Kyle Larson puts a lot of time in that 42 car, and a few other drivers here and there, and of course Ross Chastain recently got his win in that number 42 car. So I'm not even sure that it's going to be a possibility for Dixon to maybe assume the wheel of that Xfinity ride. They're at his own home team of Ganassi. So, and with that, I'm going to go into the final lap. Woo, we're going to get in just over an hour. I think. So, I have to go. Ooh, what just happened? Looks like a cat to me.
Yeah, I don't know if they're trying to rule it incomplete here or. No, he did get that ball.
All right, so five to go. Any drivers in NASCAR? We can span decades on this one.
Oh, yeah.
I think Mario Andretti of the gate swinging.
Oh, well, you know, him and Mr. Foyt, they both get a Daytona title under them. But, you know, just the length of time that Tony Stewart was there, I'm going to give it to Stewart, although, God, I always liked Mario Andretti. But I got to go with Stewart just because he put in more time.
Oh, I'm not even trying to challenge between the drivers. Just, but yeah, when you look at Mario Andretti comes out of the gate, wins a freaking Daytona 500, and then AJ Foyt comes on and he does his thing. And then it kind of seemed to sit still for quite a few years, though.
Yep. Yeah, until Cole Trickle wanted to go NASCAR to get into Indy, and, you know, look what happened. I mean, didn't work out for Cole Trickle, and so...
Yeah, Days of Thunder is one of the most back-ass words movies of all racing movies.
Yep.
Yeah, that was just ridiculous. Of course, you know, yeah, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's go to Tony Stewart, who came into Busch Series in 1997. And when he was inking his deal in 1996, Joe Gibbs Racing, to go into the Busch Series, they were just kind of informating around a Perkins Red Robin whatever kind of joint, and Joe Gibbs is sitting there, and Tony Eugene is sitting there, and Gibbs said, is there anything that that we've left out of our contract here? And I guess Tony Stewart said, I want to run at the Summer Nationals at Indianapolis in the top fuel car. Don't take it too serious, Walker. So, anyways, I remember that that whole deal. And of course, at that time, that's when Gibbs added the second Busch car, which was team car to Bobby Labonte. You know, the number 18 and the number 20. They've been the pilot ships all along. The 18, obviously, being the first one back in Cup. But Tony had a horse here in 97 in the Busch Series. Really did. And followed that up with another pretty much horse year at the Busch Series. When Matt Kenseth bumped him up at the end of the Rockingham race, the second race of the year, the week after Earnhardt got his Daytona 500 finally. And then there was also, he moved right up into a second car to Bobby Labonte in 99. I'll never forget people in their fantasy racing leagues talking their crap and being like, why would you take that rookie? Why would you take that rookie? I would have grabbed that rookie. Had it been available, I would have taken that rookie.
Yep.
I would have taken Tony Stewart. No problem. And that worked out pretty good for Dustin. So, but as far as drivers that have been successful and those who haven't, I hate to piss on everyone's parade. Danica, not so good.
No.
That just did not happen. And when you look at, like, Eric Almirola, that took, you know, Dan just retired last year from that car. And when you look at Eric Marola, who's been so strong in that car, doesn't have a win yet in it, but he's moving on to the next round. It's not a lock yet, but he's not far behind. No. When you set the chase scenario for the next round of it, after Roval, Eric Almirola, number 10 car at Stewart Haas Racing. Hey, let's not forget about a certain guy, Sam Hoch Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He's not too far behind. And, you know, he was a pinch driver. And then that was also when he ended up over at Petty after A.J. Allmendinger failed the drug test. Remember when we saw Sam Horns Jr. walking across us the road at Iowa? He had just came from Pocono. Why was he at Pocono? Because A.J. Allmendinger got kicked out of the ride or suspended for failing the test. So that's Tyler and Sam Horns, his cat, longtime IndyCar driver. So yeah, I want to put that cloud over somebody just because they're from Indy is just foolish. And let's also face it, they didn't have five championships like Scott Dixon has.
No.
Not even Tony Stewart. So, I think Scott Dixon is a prime prospect to be able to adapt and make a transition to another style of race car.
He might as well. I mean, just another challenge, and you know what else can he do in the IRL except keep winning? And you know, I mean, yeah, just give it a try and get some news, and you know, why not try it?
So speaking of race car drivers making transitions and race cars, there's a lot of cars on the market right now, and I'm not talking about the silly season trades amongst NASCAR drivers, IndyCar drivers, NHRA drivers, any of that. A lot of cars for sale. One of them being Jeremy Wolff's Thunder car. Anybody that interested that is either experienced. By the way, it's the championship car from Elko this year, the number 2. It is for sale. You can email the shows, speedwayanywhere@elko.com, or phone into the show, which everyone's got anxiety disorders and stuff about playing a live show. I don't understand it, but that's between you and your own high power. But yeah, a lot of cars going up sale right now, whether they're late models, whether they're, you know, whatever division. But Jeremy's selling his champion Thunder car. If I'm correct, and I haven't spoken to him about this, I believe it's because he wants to focus on bringing the late model out of the garage, and he needs to use the money for that. And I would assume, I'm not speaking for him, but I would assume that he wants to go and race late models next year. So keep your eyes on those, Mark. I mean, Google that stuff. On freaking Craigslist. You got to kind of know your lingo as far as the difference between a roller chassis and a complete chassis. And, you know, buying an engine is obviously, you know, you're buying an engine. So, but I recommend anyone that's got a little bit of a couple extra bucks that you can afford to part with. It's one of the things that if you can't afford to lose it, don't put it in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, go out, have fun, take a shot at it. If the car has killed anyone, it's probably not going to be in one piece anymore. So I would think that means it's going to be safe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the most marketable driver right now? We don't have Dan anymore. We don't have Dale Jr. Bill Elliott's just he's a shot in the pan, flash in the pan here and there.
Still driving, right?
No, not. Yeah. Who's the most marketable driver right now?
Oh, God. You know, I might go with Edwards.
No, I said right now. Edwards don't drive.
Yeah, I know. I know, but just Edwards' wife has some following. You could still use him. But, I might go with Truex Jr. Just, you know, and sorry, people, but I think Kurt Busch, with people that don't like him, it is marketable. Not all marketable sports people are people in sports are always fan favorites. You know, so I'm actually going to go with Kurt Busch. Market the bad.
I'm so surprised you didn't say John Force.
Well, I actually was thinking about it, but where do you go? John Force markets himself. You know, I mean, even when I hear other people talk about him, he's
but
a self-marketer.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. Who do you want on the receiving end of the camera and the microphones?
Oh, by far, John Force. On the receiving end, yeah, but
we're not talking about that you or I can go out and sell on frickin' TV and be like, hey, watch our car. No, I'm talking about the personality. Danica Patrick was easily the best behind a camera. She was. The girl could talk better than anyone else. She didn't stumble on her words. She always got the point. She was good. And now she's gone. Now, of course, you know, she's got the whole yoga studio, fitness, whatever, commercials and stuff on TV that aren't operating related. But as far as I'm talking about current drivers. So if I had to choose... Boy, as far as the, you know, somebody so likable, I'd have to go Noah Gregson.
Oh.
He's one of those people that just draws you right in. Who gives a rat's ass about his performance on the track? He's one of those guys that if he cracks a joke, it's half-ass funny. He's going to make you laugh twice as hard as a joke that's twice as good as it. He's got that personality to him. So, let's go two to go. And, God, I haven't even looked at my head.
Well, we just tied 14. It up, so. Yeah. Tight.
My TV said 14-10 the flag.
Hmm.
Weird.
He's got two TDs today.
My TV says we're ahead. So.
Yeah, but for how much longer?
You said we were tied. All right, two to go. The Robbie Gordon series, the Super Stadium Trucks. What people don't realize, there is some great, great freaking racing coverage out there. And just because you got FS1 and you got NBC Sports and all that to follow NASCAR and follow NHRA and follow the IndyCar series, there's some really cool stuff going on. I was sitting back last night watching classic cars race around Laguna Seca. That was pretty cool. And that on top of watching what are basically off-road enduro trucks race on asphalt with still ramp jumps. And Craig Biffle came out of hiding to run with them for his first time, where he finished second.
Yeah, and people, let me put it this way. For those of you out there in the world that remember RC Pro-Am, the Nintendo game, that's what it kind of reminds you of, with the exception that you can't use explosives to make your truck go faster. That's what it reminds you of until you notice, oh, there's real live human beings in those trucks. It's the jumps that remind me of RC Pro-Am.
Every time I watch those guys go over those jumps, and all I can do is see the blue or the gray of the sky.
Yeah.
God, that would scare me.
No. I mean,
just kind of like a pilot. Off we go into the wild yonder. You know, it's just like, man. And those trucks have massive shocks in them, too. You can jump them off a cliff, and as long as they land flat like a cat, you'll survive it.
Yeah, and, oh, God, it's just a cool thing to watch. It just is.
And they do it anywhere and everywhere. It's great. Sometimes it's on dirt. Sometimes you unintentionally get hurt in the truck because you flipped out into the grass. And all right, final lap. How are we doing? Oh, we're on commercial. Damn it. So, 17:14.
Yep.
Not as bad as I thought. All right. I'm going to take us out. We can't go victory lane because Vikings haven't won yet, so can't go Vikings victory lane. So, wanted to mention, tonight's Feel for Show was sponsored by Captain Kurt. Otherwise, I couldn't have my truck here and would never get back home. So, our fuel sponsor is Team Captain Kurt. So, I'm going to take us out by saying that, you know, wherever you go, get there fast. This is going to be probably one of the most interesting races. Not in most entertaining, but I'm going to say interesting races as we bring the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series into the Roval on Saturday and Sunday.
And people, check out the Robbie Gordon Super Truck Series. And one thing, I know we'll probably talk about this the next show, but people, just watch the Twinkies if you can. Give a round of applause for Joe Mauer because he's a whole hometown guy that stuck around this long and that too. So it's his final weekend. So not official, but it probably is.
Seven Heavens on his way out.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yep. All right, I'm going to take us out, and we're going to enjoy some Vikings on Fox or Vikings on a Ram?
Yep, the
I think it's a lot more fair if they on a Ram than a Fox, but
Yep.
All right, I'm out.
All right, I'm in.
I don't even want to know.